This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's April 2nd, and on this day in back-to-back years, the NCAA instituted two big changes to college basketball. The 1980s was a great decade, at least if you were a kid. It was awesome. MTV came along, everybody had a Walkman, the personal computer, Chicken McNuggets. Well, in 1985 and then again in 1986, the NCAA made two key rules changes to college basketball that gave us the game that we watch religiously now in March. On this day in 1985, the NCAA announced the institution of the shot clock. In the past few weeks, I've talked about some of the stall tactics and games that these featured prominently in. Teams were holding the ball for 3-4 minutes of possession. Well, just yesterday, I talked about how Villanova's Rolly Massimino used that tactic to great success to win the national title in 85. That had to figure a little bit into their decision, but of course, North Carolina's Dean Smith utilized the four corners offense. There's a well-known 1968 ACC tournament game between NC State and Duke when Norm Sloan's Wolfpack held the ball for most of the game with a final score of 12-10. It may have taken the NCAA a while to get to this decision, but now wanting a quicker pace to the game, they announced that a 45-second shot clock was the new law of the land. That has been adjusted over the years, including what it resets to on missed shots rebounded by the shooting team, but now it's a 30-second shot clock. And then in 1986, the NCAA adopted a three-point shot. Now, this was not an easy one to implement. A lot of coaches did not want it, they didn't like it, and this was not a quick decision at all. The NCAA actually experimented with the three-pointer over the course of 5 years in about 20 different conferences around the country. So there were different distances depending on which league was experimenting with it. When it came time to announce the decision, the three-point distance was set at 19 feet 9 inches. That distance was adjusted in 2008 to 20 feet 9 inches, and now it's 22 feet and 3/4 inches. So, with the implementation of the three-point shot, it took a little focus away from the big man, expanded play away from the basket, brought the role of the little guy who could shoot bombs into play. But obviously, there were going to be people who didn't like it, like we've talked about. I mentioned not too many days ago that Indiana's Bobby Knight didn't like it when they adopted it, did not like it through the remainder of his coaching days, and hated it just as much when he retired. There was Dayton's head coach Don Donaher, who felt the adoption of the three was symptomatic of America's sinking into a moral morass, saying, "To me, it's just like a game show now." But now, nearly 30 years after its adoption, I think it's a fair assumption that the three is here to stay. In 1977, This Week in Baseball premiered. I watched a lot of television when I was a kid. One of my favorites on Saturdays was This Week in Baseball, hosted by New York Yankees announcer Mel Allen. Some of the younger generations may be tired of hearing how us Gen Xers only had four channels to watch growing up, and one of those was PBS, but this was one of the treats of the week, especially if you are a baseball-playing kid like me. This would be followed up by the NBC Game of the Week, and this is actually credited as being one of the influences on ESPN's SportsCenter, which started in 1979. This Week in Baseball was a highlight show sponsored by Major League Baseball. Commissioner Bowie Kuhn saw that the NFL had NFL Films and was producing its own show, and he figured it would be a great way to promote Major League Baseball. And it worked. The show would, of course, show highlights of games and big plays, great catches, big home runs, and wild antics. But also zero in on players chasing records, have occasional interviews, and of course, twib notes. And a lot of the great highlights would end with Allen's signature phrase, "How about that?" The show ran in syndication until 1998. It got picked up again by Fox in 2000 and ran until 2011 in varying forms before being shut down for good. Interesting tidbit, the opening theme song for the show was also used on a 1970s game show called Jackpot. And since we're talking baseball for a moment, here are two more baseball stories that happened on this day, starting with the sad and then ending with the bizarre. In 1972, New York Mets manager Gil Hodges died in Palm Beach, Florida. Hodges had just finished playing 27 holes of golf with Mets coaches Rube Walker, Joe Pignatano, and Eddie Yost, and they were walking back to their hotel when he suffered a heart attack and collapsed. Hodges was pronounced dead at a local hospital 20 minutes later. He was just 2 days shy of his 48th birthday, and the Mets were less than 2 weeks away from starting the season. Yogi Berra was named Mets manager 4 days later. The team wore black armbands in tribute and remembrance of Hodges for the duration of the season. And we've already had one Billy Martin spring training story. How about another one? In 1982, Martin was managing the Oakland A's. This time, Martin was not happy about there being no DH rule for spring training games at National League venues. So he sent pitcher Steve McCaddy to the plate with a 15-inch-long plastic toy bat as a protest. The home plate umpire that day was Jim Quick, who refused to let McCaddy stand in with the prop. An argument ensued, but eventually, McCaddy stared at three strikes with a real bat on his shoulder. And as Mel Allen would say, "How about that?" And in 2022, it was a classic Tobacco Road matchup between North Carolina and Duke, but this one in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament in New Orleans. This was the first meeting between these two teams in the NCAA tournament, and it was a classic. The Heels were an 8 seed and an underdog. Duke was a 2 seed. Both teams struggled shooting in the first half, with Duke up 3 at the break, and built that up to 7 before the Heels could get their first points of the second half. But a couple Caleb Love threes sparked a 13-0 run, and the Heels were out in front. The Blue Devils fought back, and when Wendell Moore stroked a 3 with 1:24 left, it gave Duke the lead, but it would be their final one of the night. After a couple of free throws, the Heels were up 1 with 25 seconds to play, when Love buried a 3 that proved to be the game winner, then hit a pair of free throws in the final seconds to give Carolina the 81-77 win. There were 14 lead changes in the second half, and at no point was the lead larger than 7. Love finished with a game-high 28 points. Duke freshman Paolo Banchero led the Devils with 20 points and 11 rebounds. Trevor Keels had 19 off the bench. It was the final game for Mike Krzyzewski, who announced it was his final year at Duke prior to the start of the season. His record against North Carolina was 50 wins and 48 losses. But those last two losses came in Coach K's final goodbye to Cameron Indoor, and on this day, 2 years ago, on the doorstep of the national championship game. In today's non-sports Did You Know, it is estimated that there are about 3 million ships that have sunk and remain on the ocean floor. That's all for now. I'll be serving up more This Day in Sports History tomorrow. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast.
no-nonsense, old-school weightlifting history is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.